Hey, good morning, friends of Jesus and friends of mine. And you know what? We're becoming friends. We're friends with each other, even though we don't all know each other, because we're friends with Jesus. That's how good He is. When you become a friend of Jesus, like a real friend, you just became a real friend of a lot of other people. And isn't that just the joy of it, to get to discover those friends and meet them and grow that into real relationship? And then that's going to go on forever. That's amazing. Well, today is Thursday, January the 22nd, in the year of our Lord, 2026. I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. Got lots of good things ahead this morning. Dad's going to be singing with us. And let's dive right into consecration. Are you ready? Are you ready to win the day? Say, yes, we are. I heard that. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, today's entry is entitled "The Surprising Truth About True Humility." Our text today, we're reading Proverbs chapter 22. Once you read the whole chapter, listen to it, go to your Bible app or Bible Gateway, push play if you want to hear it. Otherwise, read it. This is our one track through this year, through the 31 Proverbs. This is verse 4 we're going to focus on right now. Hear the word of the Lord. Humility is the fear of the Lord. Its wages are riches and honor and life. The word of the Lord. That's so powerful. Now consider this. Sometimes it helps me to understand something when I reframe it according to its opposite meaning. For instance, today's text, humility is the fear of the Lord. Its wages are riches and honor and life. Now, when reframed, it might look like this. Pride is the absence of the fear of the Lord. Its wages are poverty and shame and death. The outcome here swings on the hinge of the fear of the Lord. Proverbs previously instructed us that the fear of the Lord was the beginning of wisdom. Stay with my logic. If humility is the fear of the Lord, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, then that makes humility the beginning of wisdom. It begs the question, what then is humility? Humility is so often thought of as a set of behaviors that look like self-deprecation and self-abnegation. I think this is exactly wrong. Humility is the deeply human disposition of a person who has come to know and embrace their deepest worth. Note that connection, humility, human. Jesus shows us what humility looks like. Philippians 2, you know, that one that says, have the same mind in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he made himself nothing, and taking on the nature of a slave, being made in human likeness, being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Right? We could keep going. Therefore, God highly exalted him, gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. My friend Reese told me that that's his new word for this new year, and I commend that one. I've been working with, memorizing, ruminating on that text for years, and I still hardly grasp it. It's unbelievable. This is God. This is our God. That's his mind, and he wants that mind in us. That's humility. Humility is not just some abstract virtue. It's Jesus himself. Let's take a look at it from this angle. This is John chapter 13. You want to get even more granular? Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. See it there? Humility isn't the noble decision to somehow lower yourself. It's the audacity to embrace who you most truly are as a human being, a person whose worth is not earned from a performance but conferred upon by a creator. The notion of earning one's worth from a performance is the essence of pride. The notion of embracing one's worth as a gift from God is the essence of humility. Pride enslaves me to the never-ending bondage of distinguishing myself from others by becoming something other than what I am. Because all of my energy is directed at creating a false sense of self, propping myself up, I am prevented from embracing my true self. Because of my need to distinguish myself from others, I can't accept them either. James warns us about bitter envy and selfish ambition, characterizing them as the signs of false wisdom and nothing less than demonic evil. Humility frees me not only to embrace myself, but to accept others. After all, we are the same, all of us, equal. Even better, humility frees me to authentically love others because I can finally love myself, my real self, not the self I think I ought to be, but the one God made. Even better, this kind of love finds its deepest springs in a love for God that flows out of God's love for us. This is why humility is wisdom. It's one of the things that most amazes me about Jesus washing his disciples' feet. John characterizes that act as Jesus showing his disciples the, quote, full extent of his love. Humility and the fear of the Lord are the beginning of wisdom, but the end of wisdom is the love of God and the love of one's neighbor as oneself. Ooh, let's pray. Abba, Father, you had an intention and a purpose when you created me. Because I trust you, I want to realize your intention and purpose for myself. Forgive me when my trust fails and I try to remake myself in the image of someone or something else. Come, Holy Spirit, and fix my eyes on Jesus. Teach me to behold him, that I may become like him. It is in his name that I pray. Amen. The journal prompts. Why are people bent on trying to make themselves into something they aren't? Is my own sense of self-worth tied to my own performance or accomplishments, achievements, or lack thereof? And what keeps me from deeply accepting and loving myself? And how does this keep me from deeply accepting and loving others? It's the amazing thing is that we actually do, in fact, treat others exactly how we treat ourselves. That's why that command is so full of wisdom. You love your neighbor as you love yourself. Well, that's what's going to happen. And if you can't love yourself, it's really because you haven't become yourself. You've become something else, someone else. And oftentimes salvation, refining, sanctification, it's that process of stripping that false self away that all of us have struggled to navigate. There's so much I'd like to say right at this point. There's just so much to say. I'll just end it here and say before we sing, what we need is deep humility. And deep humility is simply the embrace of who God made us to be. That's just, and here's the thing, when you do that, you have profound authority because there's only one person who can actually be the person God made you to be. That's you. You are the only authority on that. And that's profound because that kind of authority leads you then into what I would call breathtaking love. You know, Jesus, that's it. That's that foot washing. That's breathtaking. All of his life is breathtaking because he knew who he was. He knew to whom he belonged. And he walked in the authority that God had given. See, that's the authority is God's given you to be you. It's the authority he's given me is to be me. Only I can be me. I've tried to be other things before, and I've created false constructs, false projections. But I had to come to the place where I knew that God loved me, the me that he created, not the me that I thought I needed to be or become. It was who he made me to be, just a son, a daughter in your case, maybe. My beloved, he says, with you, I am well pleased. It's so hard to receive the deepest truth about ourselves, but that's freedom. That's the freedom. That's the authority. All right, it's time to sing. Here we go. Here we go. Dad, thanks for being here today and helping to lead the Sower Nation.
My pleasure.
It's good. Have you been to Chick-fil-A? It's good to have a farmer leading the Sower Nation in worship. And so many of you have written so many nice notes to us, to Dad, about his being here. And we never could have imagined that we would be doing this.
No.
Even where we are. Tell them where we are.
We're in Gillette.
We're in Gillette, Arkansas, which we never imagined being in. But we're here for it, and we're in it to win it. And, you know, Gillette, I was telling Dad that he said, what's going to become of Gillette? And I said, well, Gillette is, you know, it's seen what would appear to be better days in terms of just prosperity, just like so many towns in the Delta.
Yeah, Dumas that way.
They're in decline. The Delta is in decline. But I said to him, I said, you know, Bible says, though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed. And therefore, we do not lose heart. Because Jesus, while things are maybe appearing to be on the way down, Jesus is on the way up.
Amen.
And he is bringing renewal. And he is doing things that we can't see with our eyes. And I think about our church.
And it's things that we can't do.
We cannot do them ourselves. Amen to that. We can't. Only he can. And so that's why we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. And Jesus is doing remarkable things in this town, in this region, in this community, because there's a lot of people who've got faith in Jesus, who are following him. I think about our church. I think about a lot of churches around here. And we're praying for awakening.
They've got their whole lives invested in these churches.
Yes. And that's the winning team.
Yeah.
And we're trying to open the doors up because we want anybody and everybody on that team, Team Jesus.
Amen.
Because he's going to win. And we sang yesterday about the victory in Jesus. What are we singing today?
Crown him with many crowns.
One of my favorite hymns. And that's a victory song, too. Today on our wake-up call, you know, we talked about humility. Proverbs 22:4 says, humility is the fear of the Lord. Its wages are riches and honor and light. Life. What do you think of when you think of humility?
Humility?
You want to say it's being humble. But humble is just, you know, really it comes down to just being yourself.
Yeah.
Not trying to be more than you are.
You're not putting on.
You're not putting on.
And let me tell you, people can spot someone putting on.
They can. But the sad thing is the person putting on is the last one to know it.
Yeah, but he ought to know because he's losing out.
He's losing out. So Proverbs has so much about humility in it. And you'll put the light on this?
No, you see it.
Okay, well, what's our number or hymn number today?
Let's see.
278.
Crown him with many.
We're going to sing all four verses, and we're going to boast in the Lord. You ready?
Yeah.
Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne.
Hearts that the heavenly anthem drowns, all music but his own. Awake, my soul, and sing, a friend who died for thee. Unhail him as thy matchless king through all eternity. Crown him the Lord of life, who triumphed o'er a grave and rose for victorious in him to save. His glories now we sing, who died eternal life to bring, and men that must die. Crown him the Lord of peace, whose power a scepter stays. From pole to pole that down him, and all the prayer and praise, his reign shall know no end, and sound his peerless end. Fair of Jerusalem, extend their fine flags. There then, crown him the Lord of love, behold his hands and side, those wounds yet visit the love of glorified. All hail, Redeemer, hail! For thou hast died for me, thy praise and glory shall not fail throughout eternity. Amen.
Amen. That's one of my favorites.
That's a good one.
That's
a good one.
That's one that you'll be singing all day long out on the fields. As Jesus is sowing for awakening through you. Well, it's time to send you out there today. And we appreciate getting to meet with you, with Jesus, every morning and begin the day. And now we're going to send you out into it to be, you've been encouraged. Now you're going to be an encourager. If you want to win the day, you got to win the morning. So we won.
I tell you what you can do. From now, say that for the rest of the day, you'll be seeing different people. You find somebody, and that'll be the person that you're going to pray for.
That's good.
You don't tell him, but you in your mind, you're going to... You know him. You have to know him, but you want to pray for him and just see if he feels those prayers.
That's good. You know, when you pray for somebody, you're loving them before you even get to them.
That's right.
And you're preparing the way for the Lord to do what He can do.
That's right. You're opening him up to God.
Exactly. When you pray, you are opening up the world for God.
Because God hears the prayers that we have.
And He does.
And He's going to make sure they go to where we want them to go.
That's good. Good word, Dad. Well, let's just close out with that today. And for the awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
And I'm David Walt.
And we'll see you on the field. All right. Bye for now.